Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The passion and purpose of the Christian Research Institute is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints by focusing on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. To connect with CRI, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Our culture is in a free fall, having long become acclimated to divorce, premarital sex, cohabitation. We're finally witnessing the mainstreaming of homosexuality. The gay rights juggernaut advanced through film and then through television characters, through sympathetic journalists, and then even the American Psychiatric Association, topped off by the educational system and anti-discrimination laws. And then the U.S. Supreme Court declared a constitutional right to same-sex marriage. The shifting national debate now is simultaneously stifling free inquiry, at the same time producing rather extraordinary questions. No longer are we permitted to ask, is homosexual activity normal? But are objections to homosexual activity normal? And we used to talk about gender identity disorder, but now it's gender dysphoria, the idea that our subjective feelings, not our objective biology, determine our sex. And a totalitarian boot slams down on anyone who dares to respect the rights of women as women and men as men in bathrooms and showers throughout the land. The Judeo-Christian worldview is, quite frankly, morphing into pluralism, multiculturalism, relativism, and naturalism. And the magnitude of these tectonic shifts is creating tsunamis that are sweeping away pillars of civilization that have stood for centuries. Consider that as free love of the 1960s has morphed into friends with benefits in the modern epic, 40% of births in the United States are now out of wedlock. And then there are the witnesses to nearly 1 million abortions annually in the United States. We're seeing the disintegration of the family, the foundation of society, and not surprisingly, the average Christian, let alone an average American, cannot defend the objective nature of marriage, the unique, permanent, and comprehensive union of two people, one man, one woman, the natural end of which is the bearing and rearing of children. And all sociological metrics point to the greater value of gender-differentiated parenting by the child's married mother and father. And so by obfuscating on this very important point, we are hurting the most vulnerable among us. Of course, this is a very special month. June is the end of our fiscal year, not our calendar year, obviously, but the fiscal year, and this is the time that we catch up. And so we're asking people, once again, to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants, as always, they're standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI, a lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up, we'll talk to Jerry, listening in Iowa. Hi, Jerry.
Howdy. Thanks for taking my call.
It is my pleasure.
I enjoy listening to everything you have to say. I'm taking an end times prophecy class right now, and we're doing Daniel first and then going to Revelation. And I've got a question on Daniel 7:21, where it talks about, I beheld in the same horn, made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Well, I was using the Jimmy Swaggart Bible, and he says the saints mentioned here are not the church, but rather Israel. Is that true? Or
what's going on, and by the way, I'd be very, very careful in using a Jimmy Swaggart commentary. I've often said he's got more doctrinal hang-ups than a dry cleaner. But what's going on here is the image of a little horn. And by the way, that appears not only in Daniel 7, but also Daniel chapter 8. And the temptation is to presuppose that the little horn in chapter 7 refers to someone different from the one depicted in chapter 8, which is, by the way, almost universally recognized as Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, or what I call the Old Testament Antichrist. Exegetically, both little horn images actually, in distinction from what you're reading in commentaries, they actually refer to the same person. And because chapter 8 so clearly refers to Antiochus, then so must chapter 7. And I think the plain and natural reading of the text should lead any rational reader to that same conclusion. And what actually prevents many from embracing the conclusion is the preconception that the Roman Empire or the revived Roman Empire must be in view here. And I don't think that's the case. I think what you have, and I lay this out in a book called Has God Spoken? You have Daniel writing at the time of Nebuchadnezzar. He's in the Babylonian kingdom. And he's seeing, by God's grace, what's going to happen for the next four centuries, right to the second century and the coming of Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, the little horn that speaks boastfully. And so he sees a succession of nations from Babylon, the first kingdom, to the Medes, to the Persians, and then to the Greeks, Alexander the Great being delineated in very clear fashion such that it's undeniable. But ultimately what he sees is what is going to happen when the temple is manifestly desecrated under Antiochus. It's the Hellenization process that Antiochus is seeking to force onto the Jews, and the defiling of the sanctuary. And then what happens is we see that freedom comes through Judas Maccabeus, and the temple doesn't end up being destroyed. By the way, this is something that is still celebrated in the modern epic during Hanukkah. So I think the kingdoms that people depict in Daniel sometimes are depicted in error. And I lay out, I think, a very strong case for this in my book, Has God Spoken? You'll also see in that book some footnotes as to why I don't think that Rome or revived Roman Empire is in view there. Rome is never explicitly mentioned in the book of Daniel. Instead, the empires explicitly dealt with are the ones I just depicted. Also, the culmination of Daniel's concerns, the very thing that caused his face to turn pale in the chapter that you just mentioned, that exhausted him and caused him to become ill, were prophecies concerning the Greek kingdom culminating at the time of the end, with the abomination of desolation exacted upon Israel by the Syrian despot that I delineated. Again, all of this laid out in my book, Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. You can check it out on the web at equip.org or simply write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Back to our phone callers. Next up is Anthony listening in Tennessee. Hi, Anthony.
Hi. I had a question, you know, because I know that we tithe, and God has blessed us tremendously, and it says in Malachi, do not rob God, you know. He commands us to tithe. Then there's been some comments made, and there's kind of some debate. Is tithing actually still required in the New Testament?
Well, I think what the emphasis is in the New Testament is free will giving, which is to say tithing is a universal principle on one hand, because Moses says we tithe in order to demonstrate that we revere the Lord our God always. So reverencing God is a timeless principle. And even Jesus talking about tithing, he doesn't abrogate tithing. He says you should not neglect the former or the latter. Which is to say the tithing being a universal principle maybe is best illustrated by saying it's like training wheels on a bicycle. There's a time when you don't need the training wheels, but tithing is a great place to start. It is a way of simply acknowledging that the arm of the Lord is much longer than the arm of flesh, that we can trust in Him, and that we give not to get, but we give so that we may extend His kingdom. That's why we're here to begin with, to extend the kingdom and to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. But I think you're alluding to something in the prologue to your question, that is, the New Testament motif is to hold everything that we have, our time, talent, and treasure with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as He sees fit.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Appreciate your call. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be right back.
Some of today's most influential public figures ferociously attack the Bible, claiming it is a storehouse of fable and fantasy. If the skeptics are right, Christianity is no more credible than any other religion. And although Christians know they're not following cleverly invented fables, most believers cannot defend the truth and explain why they believe what they believe. 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's book, Has God Spoken?, will enable anyone to refute the skeptics with persuasive reasons for believing that God has indeed spoken in the pages of Holy Scripture. For your generous gift to the Christian Research Institute this month, we'll send you Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man will return in a moment. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just 2 of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Marxism, rebranded as socialism today, is making a comeback, and in the politics of the progressive left, the makeover is complete. But Marxist theory suffers the same malady as every materialist theory. It contradicts the existence of the theorist. Other topics include, what's the problem with conversion therapy? Does Galatians 5 forbid the use of medicine? The films of Alfred Hitchcock in the age of Instagram, honoring dishonorable parents. Athanasius, a C.S. Lewis of the early church, the historicity of Moses, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Just as the value of vaccines increases during the outbreak of a deadly disease, when assaults on our faith and freedoms mount, the outreaches of CRI become even more critical. That in turn makes believers like you, those who are willing to stand up and speak up, all the more crucial. Very simply, there is nothing, I repeat, nothing that CRI does that would be possible without partners like you. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. God bless you. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. We'll talk next to Brad. He's listening in Modesto, California. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good, good. I'd just like to say something real quick to all the listeners, that supporting the CRI ministry has been a blessing for me. So it really takes nothing. You don't even notice it, and you get a lot from it. And I've been blessed.
Oh, bless you. Thank you for saying that.
And I just had a quick question. I've been a Jesus believing Christian for a very long time. No real dominion or anything like that forced on me by my father, and that's who I came to find Christ through. And I guess ultimately, there's tiny little things here and there that a lot of people separate themselves on. But a big thing that I noticed is there's such a vast difference between the communion of Catholics and the communion of just your basic Baptist or Orthodox Christian. When it comes to communion, they put so much into that on the Catholic side of it that I recognize, and on the Christian side, it's just kind of remembering rather than like a big empowering ceremony.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right in what you have apprehended. You're making a distinction that is a distinction that came about as a result of Zwingli. Didn't come about at the time of the Reformation with Luther, but actually at the time of Zwingli, and then later on as Protestantism continued to fissure, there was a different belief than the church has held for 1,500 years. It wasn't until the colloquy between Zwingli and Luther in the Marsberg Castle in 1529, in which, in this debate, I think Luther handily won, and Zwingli, though, won the war, because within Protestantism from that time forth, there was a fissuring that took place in which communion became merely a remembrance or a memorial, as opposed to what Luther believed, to what the Western Church believed before Luther, and to what the Eastern Church believed, which is essentially that this is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And it was, from a practical perspective, thought of in terms of theosis. We become Christ-bearers since his body and blood are distributed throughout our limbs. So we become, as Peter put it, through that, partakers of the divine nature. The Eucharist for the Church Fathers was the chief instrument for Christian divinization. Not that there would be four in the Godhead, but that, as Peter said again, we partake of the divine nature, and we learn to live not just by our own energies, but by all his energies which so powerfully work in us, as the Apostle Paul put it. For Luther, taking our Lord at his word was far from unreasonable. And he used to describe this by saying, why should not Christ be able to include his body within the substance of the bread? Fire and iron, he said, are two different substances, and they're mingled in red hot iron, that every part of it is fire and iron. And so again, he said, why may not the glorious body of Christ much more be in every part of the substance of the bread? So the illustration he had in mind was taking a poker, sticking it in fire, and that poker that's white steel becomes red hot steel. The poker is still the poker, the fire is still the fire, but the two substances are inextricably woven together so that they become one. And this is what Christ is talking about. The Gospel of John does not record the institution of Holy Communion as do the other Gospels, but his report of our Lord's words offer the clearest and most profound biblical understanding of the living power that's inherent in the real presence of Christ. When we partake of the mystical supper instituted by our Lord, we live in him, he lives in us. When we do not, we have no life. So the words of our Lord are emphatic. Most assuredly, said Jesus, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So we have to abide in the vine in order to partake of uncreated energy, and only God is uncreated. So in broad strokes then, for 1,500 years, the church believed in the real presence of Christ. Now, the Western church tried to explain it by using big words. The Eastern church said, we leave this in the realm of mystery. We cannot really explain how this could be. Luther and Lutherans after him said, Christ is in, with, and under the elements. But the bottom line is, whether you can explain it or not, if you take the Lord at his words, when you partake of communion, a mystery takes place where we partake not just of created energy, but now uncreated energy. And so we live not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. And we can do things through partaking of communion that we could never do otherwise because of the power inherent in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul says, don't ever take this in an unworthy manner, because if you do, you're drinking judgment unto yourself. And he said, as a result of this, many people die and some people get sick. So the church for 1,500 years, in other words, right up at the time of Luther, including Luther, believed that this was not just merely a memorial or a remembrance, but this was a way by which you partake of the divine nature, again, using the words of Peter.
And so, I mean, ultimately, it's an outward expression of recognizing exactly how weak we are, how powerful he is, who we serve, and being submissive, and then returning that favor and being servants to those around us to find the same truth. It actually holds no power in what you do. It only holds power in what he's going to do for you, with you, through you, and by you.
Yeah, the life flows from the one true vine to its outstretched branches, and as such, the branches are empowered to bear fruit. Jesus said a branch cannot bear fruit separated from the vine, and nor can it bear fruit cut off from other branches. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. And then he said, this is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers, well, they ate manna and they died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever. It's kind of like what happened when Jesus encountered the woman at the well. And she doesn't have anything to draw the water up out of the well. And Jesus, in essence, tells her, you know, I have water that will become a living stream within you. And it's ironic because the disciples were out looking for bread and water so that they would have sustenance. And Jesus uses this occasion to tell the woman at the well, there is an everlasting source of water. It is a different kind of water. It's a water that flows from within. So again, he uses naturally, empirically perceptible objects to point to spiritual realities.
And he always pointed back to the very beginning, which is awesome in his ministry about the truth that when he was out there in the wilderness and he was tempted, he said, it's not just bread alone or water or physical sustenance. It's the Word of God, period.
Well said.
Well, thank you, Hank, and God bless you. And I'm going to hang up now and listen to the rest of your awesome show.
Thank you so much. You're kind. Yeah, and you know, I deal with a lot of these issues in various places, including the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. That book available for those who support the ministry as well, and for those who join CRI's monthly support team. Be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Every time I personalize one of those books, I think about the people who are now standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I cannot do what I do without you, nor can the Institute do what the Institute does without you. Together, we become a formidable change agent in a culture that is decidedly out of whack. The question I've asked for many years is, are we willing to do for the truth what cults and world religions do for a lie? A reminder that as we get near the end of our financial year, we're asking people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can talk directly to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Anything you can do would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you right back here next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth and equip Christians as authentic disciples of Christ. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.